Welcome to Career Tools. This week, HR doesn't work for you, part one. Here we go. Okay, Wendy, you and I have known this for years and years and years, and it seems like a lot of people have been misled by the bad guidance that HR is here to help. HR is, you know, wants to help you be a better manager, be a better professional, and HR protects the employees, you know.
They're there, their health and safety, you know, they're there to make sure that your desk is ergonomic and that your manager doesn't work you too hard and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely.
And so it's easy for people, it would be easy for someone to draw the conclusion that HR is kind of like a soft union for the employees, right?
Yeah.
And because it's in the company's interest that employees believe that the company cares about you, they send a message that HR is there for you.
Yeah.
Right? It's about the human part of the company as opposed to the results part or the customer part or the output part or the product or the service part.
Yeah. It's the soft, kind side of the company.
Right. Okay. I have to tell you, in the show notes, you talk about Johnson & Johnson. I was unaware of this. One of our favorite companies in the world, Johnson & Johnson, one of the best managed companies in the history of the world, has a quote which says, "When you feel your best, you do your best. But when something is troubling or hurting you, it's difficult to see those concerns, set those concerns aside and focus on work." I was unaware of where does Johnson & Johnson say that?
On their website. On the job search page under what's it like working for the company.
Wow. And then it goes on to say, "At J&J, we provide support programs and services to help our employees live healthier and safer lives at work, home, on the road. This is good for our people and good for our business." And so it would be easy then to draw the conclusion that, hey, HR cares about me, which they do. Of course, HR does care about you. But just because HR cares about you, that doesn't mean HR works for you.
Absolutely not. No.
Just because HR might, in fact, be the voice of the employee, the fact is HR doesn't work for you. Companies may want you to believe they're your voice, but how are we going to help professionals and managers deal with this? What should we do?
Should we break the illusion and
yes.
Tell them that HR works for the company?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. That's it. Yeah, there's this belief that HR are the soft side and they're on your side and they're there for you to go to if there's problems, a bit like guidance counselors at school, and they're not. The only reason a company pays for somebody to sit in a seat is because it's good for the company. And anybody who's working for the company and is paid for by the company is working for the company. And if they're not working with the company's good in mind, then they don't have a job for long. So HR absolutely works for the company.
Okay, good. HR is a corporate resource, not a manager's resource. You can seek them out in some cases, but yeah. Okay, good. What else?
So we're going to talk today, HR protects the company.
Yep.
Don't make HR your first stop if you've got a problem.
I know HR people, probably their head exploded at that. No, I want them to come to us.
Yeah, not the HR people, I know.
But our next point is, it mitigates that.
Yeah, make friends with HR.
Good, okay.
Approach your contact informally and make your questions official as a last resort.
Okay, good. I like this. I think it's important that we make this delineation, this distinction. So let's start with the basics. HR protects the company.
Yeah. So there is nothing, as we were just saying, there is nothing that a company should be doing that doesn't contribute to the bottom line. That every person, every resource, everything and every person that a company owns, for whether it's the working time or a desk or, you know, some piece of production machinery, everything should be there to foster the specialization of labor and to make a profit. That's what companies are for, to make a profit.
To be clear, folks, companies don't exist to make profit, but profit is the measure we use to determine that we have provided a good or service to a civilian, to a person outside of the company, which makes them a customer. And the customer pays us for our services in such a way that we derive a profit. And companies need profits, for-profit companies do, in order to gain capital to continue to invest to provide more products and services. So we're not suggesting that the end of the company is profit. It's not. Profit is how we measure the goal of the company, which is to serve the society that it serves. The job of the company is to serve the society. So what role does HR play?
So HR's job within the company is to make sure that the company has the right labor in the right places with the right skills for the company to run efficiently and to serve its customers and serve society and therefore make a profit. And it also acts as a buffer between the company and the employees. So if the employees have a problem or if they want to talk about something that the company doesn't necessarily want to talk about, then HR is there to kind of protect the company from the kind of the little nips that employees would want to make at them.
Yeah, I often say it this way. You know, we often say, if you talk to your boss, you're talking to the company. There is no confidentiality between you and your boss. If you ask your boss for confidentiality, a smart boss will always decline. Mm-hmm. Because if your boss offers you confidentiality and then you say something against the wishes of the company, your boss, as representative of the company to you, is obligated to his or her first responsibility, which is the company and not to you. By the same token, when I talk to HR, are you telling me that whatever I say to HR can't be confidential?
Oh, no. Nothing is confidential in HR.
Okay. But I thought HR kind of touts that. You can tell me. It's okay. I'm here to help you.
No, the only reason HR exists and is there as a listening post, as it were, is because if you didn't have someone to listen to you and tell you that they will help you with your problem, then all the problems with all the employees would build up and everyone would go on strike or revolt or leave. And then the company wouldn't have anything. It wouldn't have the resources it needs to work. So HR is there to intercede when things are really small so that they don't grow into big things like walkouts or strikes.
So to take it to the next level, HR people are probably furious right now with us. We love HR. I've said over the years, I hate HR. I've since changed that. And I say, I hate bad HR. And there's a lot of bad HR. There's also good HR. And I would guess that J&J is placed with good HR. In fact, I wouldn't guess that. I know that. I work with them. That said, a manager goes to HR and says, I would like to share something in confidence with you. Can HR say, okay, go ahead?
Yeah, they can say, okay, go ahead, but it's not in confidence. It's in the same way that the manager works for the company, so does HR.
Yeah, that's the distinction we're making, right? And that's the mistake that a lot of people make, particularly less experienced people. HR says, no, I'd love to help you. And so, yes, if you need to tell me something in confidence, that's great. And then they say, look, one of my people stole a bunch of money. What do I do? What is HR going to do?
And of course, HR has to report it. Right. They have to do something about it, whether that's a legal consequence or a personal consequence to the person that they take the money back from their salary or they fire them or whatever. HR has to do something with that problem. They can't just ignore it.
Okay. What about when somebody has a grievance? They got a problem.
Yeah. So when somebody's got a problem, say their manager has changed their shift pattern and it's not convenient to them and they feel like they've been treated unfairly, they go to HR and say, my manager's done this and I feel like I've been treated unfairly. And HR's job is to try and resolve that situation at that level between the person and their manager, because the further it goes, the more expensive it is to the company. So if there's an actual claim of harassment or discrimination, and that goes to a tribunal or some other kind of whatever legal system there is in your country, then that involves lawyers, it involves HR time preparation, it involves the manager's preparation. You know, there's a whole bunch of money that the company is going to spend. So HR's job is to get rid of that problem at the lowest level it possibly can, which is the individual and whoever it is that they've got a problem with.
Is it safe to say then when a manager or an individual contributor goes to a HR person and says, I need to talk to somebody about something, the HR says, great, I'm happy to help. It's reasonable for an inexperienced person to hear that as, I now have a friend. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, HR has not said anything other than I'd really like to help. But don't be confused that means that HR is going to take your side, that HR works for you, that what you say is in confidence, that they're going to fight your mission, your battle for you. If you tell them something that is deleterious to the company, they may very well take the company's side. And HR folks, please don't get mad at us. You know that's true. And we're simply making people, individual contributors and managers and professionals, aware that your ability to create a relationship with them doesn't change your primary responsibility. And we can't create a relationship that's ethical with somebody if we mislead them into believing that I'm on your side, because HR can never be on the employee's side, right? Is that what we're saying?
Exactly. And it may be that to resolve the problem, they do take your side and they uphold whatever it was that you wanted.
Right.
But equally, it may be that they support the manager. It depends on what they think is best for the company. It's nothing to do with what's best for you.
Right. So why does Johnson & Johnson tell us then? And by the way, folks, don't get us wrong. J&J is one of the greatest managed companies. You know, we use them as an example because they're held up as a sine qua non of good management and good people and so on. They say our employees innovate, create, develop, and improve our products every day. We strive to do what's right for them. Why do they say that?
Why would they say that? It's a preventative measure. It's like flu jabs or eating fruit and vegetables. If the company has the support systems and the processes and someone in HR that you can go talk to, the likelihood of them solving problems at the individual level is much higher. And so they don't end up in litigation and all the expensive things, and they don't end up with a workforce that walks out on them. So if they can provide resources that solve problems close to the point at which they're being raised, then they'll spend those resources. If you think about it, they wouldn't spend money on those resources if it didn't profit them somehow.
Yeah. So in other words, what you're saying is when you go to HR and say, I need some help, HR wants to help. And they do. They want it to be resolved in a way that's beneficial to you because it's expensive to replace you. But their primary responsibility is to resolve something for the benefit of the company. And if it, in fact, is resolved in your favor, don't assume they did it to benefit you at the expense of the company. The HR probably, in many cases, to their credit, can see both sides of this story. Maybe you can't. And they recognize that we ought to allow this to happen, or we ought to allow this person to do what they want to do. And there's no real negative to the company. We may have to massage it with someone. But the positive is we get to keep this person. But that doesn't mean they took your side and they agree with your position. And if, in fact, it's very clear that what you want is X and what the company wants is anti-X, they're going to side with the anti-X every time and you're going to lose.
You would be surprised at the number of people that leave companies with a payment, which is, I don't know, a third of their salary or half of their salary for a year. And they get that as a lump sum, because they've raised a grievance or because there is some kind of conflict between them and the company. And the best thing for the company is for that person to leave and for them to give them $60,000 or $70,000.
Exactly.
And you think, wow, why would they give them like half their salary? Well, because the cost of them taking that problem all the way to its conclusion is much more than the $70,000.
Exactly. Okay, so we want to be clear. HR works for the company, not for you. But they still want to have a relationship with you because relationships foster communication and more communication is better. But you have to understand where their loyalties lie. And I don't think HR would question that. And some of the best HR people are incredibly loyal to the company and still have great relationships. And those two things are not in opposition to one another. We're talking about two different things. One is loyalty and the other is relationship. I'm very loyal to my spouse and I have great relationships with my friends. Right? And that's one of the reasons why I tell people, anytime you share a secret with someone, you must assume by definition it will be shared with their spouse, because the relationship with the spouse is more powerful than your friendship with them. And not that they necessarily want to tell their spouse, but they wouldn't tell their spouse, my relationship with this person is stronger than my relationship with you. And so therefore, you're just going to have to deal with it. And that's essentially what we have here. It is the asymmetrical nature of loyalty and fealty, if you will, respect for authority, versus relationship, which is personal, which is interpersonal. And those two things are different. Okay. It's apples and oranges. Okay. So what we say, what you recommend is we don't make HR the first stop.
No, you've hopefully got this. HR isn't on your side.
But when you say HR isn't on your side, we're not saying, guys, we want you to be careful here. There's a subtlety here. We're not saying they're against you.
No.
They want to be for you, and they want to support the company. And if they can figure out a way to do that, they'll do that. And you might mistakenly draw the conclusion that they were on your side, when in fact, they never are. They're on the company's side, and they want to have a relationship with you, and they want you to get what you want as long as it benefits the company.
If you have a problem with between you and your manager and you go to HR, you've immediately made that problem bigger because you've involved somebody else and you've made it kind of official because now there's a record of it because HR keeps records of people that come to them with problems. Thus the no confidentiality thing. And people in HR don't want to play referee between you and your manager or you and another employee. They don't. That's not what they go into HR for. And they're not there to make things fair, as in equitable. Like, they're not there to make sure that everybody in your team or your peers is paid exactly the same amount. And so if you go to them and say, hey, I just found out that Joe's paid more than me, you've raised something that they can't fix. They don't want to fix. And now you're the kind of person that brings them problems that they don't want to deal with. So that's why we say don't make them first stop.
Yeah, it's interesting you say you're not here to make things fair as an equitable. I think people expect, well, there's this policy, so it should be applied fairly to me and to somebody else. The mistake there, guys, is that you're applying the rule of law, the idea that a law written by someone 10, 20, 30 years ago, which has the ability to penalize people, should be applied fairly simply because freedom in the non-organizational world is so powerful. Freedom of choice, freedom of association, freedom of speech, these kinds of things are so important that the absence of them, the removal of those can be enormously painful. By definition, we want law to be fair, but internally in companies, policies are not laws. We elevate them to that because we have a comparison to the power of our government, to the power of our company. But companies and governments are two very different things. Companies have policies and procedures and processes. They are not laws. Even if they have rules, they are not laws. So if you break a rule, but you're a top performer, nobody cares. I mean, a senior person doesn't care. Yeah, this guy's a jerk. Nobody likes working with him, but man, he makes us a ton of money, right? I hear that all the time on Wall Street. So we got to figure out a way to mitigate his problem. And somebody says, well, that's not being fair. HR's not being fair to me because I'm a good guy and that guy's a jerk. And you're implying fairness is a criteria or something that's important in the workplace. It's not. Although, if you read a lot of HR documents, you'll see fairness come up, but they don't mean it fairness relative to the legal ramifications in the outside world, in the life as a citizen of the world, but rather in the corporate world where there are no laws, there are no legal fairness requirements. In fact, most of us give up, and most people don't realize how much they give up of their freedoms and their rights when they go to work in an organization. Organizations can restrict your right to free speech or free association and all kinds of other things as well. That's it, everybody. HR doesn't work for you, part one. Come back next week for part two.